Thanks, everybody. I too acknowledge the traditional owners of the land in which we meet and pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. I'd like to thank the organisers for including this presentation. I was at this conference last year in New Zealand and I was thinking there's not much on sexual pleasure at a sexual health conference and it would be really lovely to see more of that. So if anyone's out there thinking about that, yes! You know, having some more practice-based workshops or presentations, I think would be really fantastic at a sexual health conference like this. So I chose this topic because I'm a sex therapist working in my private practice, and I've been working with someone this year who experiences sexual disgust, and it's not an area that I've had much involvement in, and it sort of sent me scurrying for the literature to work out, well, what am I talking about? How do I work with this? So I thought I wanted to share with you some of my learnings about this today and talk a little bit about the role of disgust over time and the different types of disgust and how sexual disgust can impact on arousal and pleasure. Pushing the button, see what happens. Here we go. So I thought I'd start off by just giving a definition of what we mean by disgust. And it's a feeling of revulsion or strong disapproval aroused by something unpleasant or offensive. And the origins are dated back in the late 16th century. And when you think of similar words for disgust, we often think of repugnance, abhorrence, repulsion, loathing, and hatred. These are very strong words, and I don't know about you, but I feel a bit of a visceral reaction when I think of these words. Disgust is also regarded as one of the six basic emotions, with the same sort of facial expressions across all cultures. That's a ripper. So what you can see here is the lowered brow, the narrowed eyes, narrowed nostrils, and the closed mouth. And some of the literature suggests that this is a reaction to help prevent us getting contaminated by disgusting things and toxins. So disgust has evolved over time in a few ways, and it has expanded from its origin in distaste to defend the body against toxins, also against disease, and threats to biological fitness. So that means having sex with relatives, and that's going to impact on our procreation. And there's a universal feeling of disgust in all cultures around incest. And then there's also social and moral involvement as well. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. So the disgust can be categorised in three different ways. There's pathogen disgust, which is about disease avoidance and typically focused on the intersection between the body and the environment. So our bodies have this behavioural immune system that, you know, about surviving and a fear of death, and it's a line of defence to protect us from contamination, from various things you can see listed there. Then there's moral disgust. This is more of an ideational type of disgust, and that could be elicited by sexual behaviours that violate important and deeply ingrained socio-moral rules. So sometimes we think about people's behaviour, and we think that, say, people who lie, cheat, steal, harm others, we often have that language around it, don't we? Oh, that's disgusting. Those people are disgusting. Their behaviour is disgusting. So we've got this moral overlay over that. And then there's also sexual disgust. And this is proposed that this type of disgust evolved to facilitate avoidance of sexual partners and behaviours that challenge our long-term reproductive success. I think too that it would also mean that there's certain people that we choose not to have contact with, maybe have friendships with, things like that. So I think it extends further than just in that sexual realm. Time's going to prevent me going into this too deeply, but I really like this schematic map, which depicts disgust as quite multifaceted. You can see here that there's no central core features to it, but rather there's a set of partially overlapping functions. And it's been quite helpful thinking about some of the things in this and just how I've been working with my client as well. But disgust is pretty fascinating. So kissing, often desirable, erotic, arousing, something we love to do, obviously involves swapping saliva, but the idea that we could then use the toothbrush of the same person that we were pashing is kind of disgusting, you know. And we also, you know, often if you think about oral sex as well, that we're actually putting our mouths on people's genitals and yet we still don't want to share their toothbrush. So it's quite a fascinating conundrum. And bodies in general, they're kind of pretty disgusting, aren't they? Because we secrete fluids, germs, we make lots of noises in rather awkward moments. It's a bit surprising why any of us are having any sex at all when you think about how disgusting we kind of are. And it's disgust has a powerful reaction in people. It's so much so that one word alone can evoke disgust in people. Not me, this is one of my favourite words, but I'm interested to know if anyone feels disgust looking at this. When I put this together in my lounge room and I was imagining what that was going to look like, I didn't think it would be the IMAX of moist. That is so cool. I'm just going to look at this for a moment. I put a thing on Facebook recently that just said moist because someone on your timeline hates the word. And it was so interesting to see the reactions of my friends. And people do hate this word, but we want our cakes to be moist, don't we? And if you've eaten some greasy chicken, you certainly want a moist towelette to wipe up. So why does this one word evoke such a disgust reaction in some people? And I think this links back to the pathogen disgust that we spoke about earlier. But disgust can also be hilarious too. I love this. I find this quite hypnotic. It'll just keep going as long as I stand here. It's so interesting because humour around disgusting things can be dated right back to Pompeii. It's centuries old, scatological humour, lavatorial humour, which I find absolutely hilarious, which my mate I live with finds disgusting. So we're very different in our interests and what we find funny and what we find disgusting. One of my favourite expressions is "don't yuck my yum," and I really like that. So it's so something that I might enjoy, someone else might find absolutely disgusting, and I'm really intrigued by why we feel like this. But I'm going to bring it back to the sexual disgust and how it impacts on pleasure. As you can see here, the impacts are quite significant. There can be avoidance behaviour. There might be low desire and difficulty feeling aroused. Withdrawal of attention, which means you might close your eyes, you need the lights off. Some might, in extreme cases, hold your nose to prevent yourself from smelling things. You might have difficulty reaching orgasm, erectile difficulty, which is going to impact on pleasure. You might have fear of pain, vaginismus, and some people might need to shower or clean their teeth immediately after. And again, in some extreme circumstances, people might retch during oral sex or kissing. And so you can imagine the emotional impact, not only for yourself if you feel sexual disgust, but on your partner as well. How are they feeling if you're experiencing any of those extreme reactions? It'd be quite off-putting. So the person that I've been working with has very kindly given me permission to use her case study here today, which is de-identified, of course. She's a cisgender woman, heterosexual, in her early 40s, married around 10 years, has one child under 5, and is the primary wage earner. She doesn't have a trauma history. Her mother has some cleanliness features around OCD. She has some rigid roles, thinking about roles in the relationship. And there's been some sexual messages from her mother as well that have, I think, impacted on how she feels about sex. Desire decreased after marriage. She doesn't like kissing very much, doesn't like to touch her husband's penis or give oral sex. Eye contact or too much touching is difficult, and she limits her contact with ejaculate. Pushing the button, see what comes up. There we go. She finds that the noises of sex are quite shameful, and she thinks attractive, beautiful people have clean sex. and her genitals are a darker colour, which she often equates to being unclean. So knowing all of these things, how I've worked with her is I've looked at things from a biopsychosocial assessment. I've looked at attitudes, beliefs, self-esteem, emotion, family background and gender roles. And these have all played quite a significant part in how she feels about sexual activity. And some interventions that we've tried, and just keep in mind too, this is someone who is really committed to therapy. I'm the third therapist that she's seen, the first sex therapist that she's seen. Her and her husband have seen a relationship therapist twice before over a period of time. And I'm the first therapist who has tried some practical things. A lot of sex therapy involves doing some homework tasks. You can talk quite a bit in therapy, but as we know in therapy, you actually have to do the things. It's talking about them, but you actually have to put things into practice. So I've taken quite a detailed psychosexual history, which has been really important for me to understand, is there any trauma background, what her previous sexual experience has been like, and what are her attitudes around sex, and what are the messages that she has received about sex over time, because they've been very powerful, and I think that's impacted on her sense of enjoyment when she's had this sense that sex is sinful or immoral. So a way to work is with some exposure to the disgusting stimuli, and that's been in a gradual fashion. So we've started with some mild things. I'm working up to some things that she would probably consider highly disgusting, which would probably be keeping her eyes open during sex. So we've just started with some just to look at your husband's penis, and just to sit with that feeling and then talk to me about what that feels like. And then we worked up to touching as well. And then trying to do some mindful-based activities and try to get out of her head and a bit more in tune with her body. And that's been really helpful also. We've also done some work around shifting some negative beliefs that she might have about her husband. And I started by seeing them together for relationship therapy. I saw them twice. And then I had some individual sessions, one each, brought them back together. And then at that session I said, I think I need to see you by yourself. And I've seen her now for about 8 sessions alone. Having some button issues. Here we go. So what's happened in the time we've worked together? She's feeling less anxious. And she's initiating sex differently now, which has been a bit more positive rather than coming from, I suppose we should have sex. And that's been very helpful for her, but also for him as well. And it's been a difficult time for him and the way he feels about sex. She's less critical as well. We've done some of this cognitive reframing and shifted some of the negative views that she's had. And she's feeling more comfortable with touch. She actually used the words enjoyable and fun. And I stopped when she said that. I said, that's the first time I've heard you say those words in all this time. It's 6 months we've been working together. I said, I'm really impressed that you're using these words because I've not heard them before. So I think that's just a really nice example of how things are progressing through the therapy. So that's it. I just wanted to summarise by saying that working with sexual disgust is quite new for me, but I think that by challenging some of the long-held beliefs that she's had from childhood and views about her husband has certainly moving things in the right direction, and we'll continue to work on addressing some of these things that she finds disgusting, and hopefully this leads to more pleasure and arousal and happiness in her marriage. Thank you.
Thank you.